around the sanctuary this morning. I want you to all congratulate yourselves. Everyone else who didn't come this morning is a wimp. I know that a lot of people in our church family are without electricity this morning. Actually, a lot of our pastoral staff was without electricity this morning, so don't hug them too tightly when you see them and pass them in the hallways. But we're thankful that you made it here safely this morning, and our prayers are just with everyone in our church family for the Lord's watch care. Look with me in Matthew chapter 13. We're going to continue teaching about the parables of Jesus in Matthew 13, and we're going to begin reading in verse 24, the parable of the wheat and the weeds. Matthew chapter 24. Look with me there. Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. Look with me there. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you're pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat together with them. Let both grow together until harvest time. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn." Turn over with me to verse 36 of Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13 and verse 36, and let's hear Jesus' explanation of the parable of the wheat and the weeds. Look with me, Matthew 13, 36. "Then Jesus left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came up to him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field.' He answered, 'The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and all the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." Let's pray and invite the Holy Spirit to come. Listen, I have a word to share with you this morning. And beloved, listen to me. The truth in these parables in Matthew 13 is that a seed must be received and retained in order to bear fruit. And God has a word that he wants to speak over you this morning. And I want you to reach out with your heart, and I want you to grab onto it, and I want you to receive it and hold on to it so that it'll produce fruit in your life. All right? Are you ready to receive this morning? All right. I want you to take your hands and just hold them open in front of your heart, just as a sign that you're ready to receive. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Father, thank you for watching over us through the storm. Thank you that we have power here this morning at harvest time, Lord. And we pray, Father, for everyone in our church family that does not have power. We pray, Lord, that you'd keep them safe. And Lord, we pray for the quick restoration, Lord, of their power. Father, we pray that a blanket of peace would settle over this entire region this morning. And Father, now in Jesus' name, we pray that you'd come and breathe life among us. Lord, our hearts are open. I pray, Lord, that the good seed of your word would fall into the good soil of our heart today, Lord, and that it would produce fruit for you. In Jesus' name, if you receive it, say amen and amen. We've been talking about the parables of Jesus in Matthew chapter 13. Parables are vehicles of revelation. They are vehicles for the communication of spiritual truth that was previously not available to us. When the disciples are alone with Jesus, they say, Lord, why are you teaching in parables? And Jesus answers them in Matthew 13, because to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom. In Matthew 13:35, Jesus is the fulfillment of a prophecy. In Psalm 78, I will open my mouth in parables and I will reveal things that have been hidden since the creation of the world. So when you're reading Jesus teaching in Matthew chapter 13, he is making known things that were unknown to previous generations of saints from the creation all the way to the time of Jesus. What a wonderful privilege that we get to know secrets of the kingdom that they longed to understand. To those who are willing to dig deeper, the parables reveal these secrets. The words to him who has ears are words of invitation from Jesus. The disciples didn't understand the meaning of the parables at first, but as they pressed into Jesus, they understood their meaning. The parables give us vivid descriptions of what the kingdom is like. They help us to understand the power and the authority that has been delegated to us as sons and daughters of the kingdom. Beloved, listen to me this morning. You are more powerful than you think you are. You have more authority than you know that you have. The parables help us to understand the ways of the kingdom. They unlock the secret inner workings of the kingdom of God. The keys to the kingdom are in the parables. They help us to understand the triumph of the kingdom on earth. And they help us to understand the opposition to the kingdom in this present age. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the forceful take it by force." And that is the message of the parable of the wheat and the weeds. This parable helps us to understand three things. It helps us to understand that we will face opposition in the world. It helps us to understand why God allows that opposition. And it helps us to understand that in spite of that opposition, we will overcome. We will win in the end. Jesus opens the parable of the wheat and the weeds with the words, "The kingdom of heaven is like." And when you read that, Jesus is saying, this is a description of what your experience is going to be on earth as one of my followers in this age. And as I look closely at the parable of the wheat and the weeds, I find it describes three vital things to us, and I want to share them with you quickly this morning. Three descriptions in the parable of the wheat and the weeds. First of all, I find a description of our enemy. A description of our enemy. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while men slept, the enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat." In the parable of the wheat and the weeds, Jesus is telling us that we have an enemy in the world. His name is Satan, the devil. Jesus tells us that he is the author and he is the broadcaster of all that is evil in the world. He is the sower of bad seed. And there are three vital things to know about our enemy in this parable. First of all, Jesus tells us what he wants to do. And what he wants to do is to destroy us. What Jesus is describing in this parable is an act of revenge that was common in the days of the Bible. In fact, there were laws in the Roman Empire that specifically forbade this practice. If you really wanted to spite someone, if you really wanted to hurt your neighbor and get even, you would sneak into his field at night and you would ruin his good wheat crop by sowing bad seed on top of it. Do you know that we still have this practice in suburbia today? If you really want to get at your neighbor, just let dandelions grow up in your lawn and then they'll spread over to his lawn. When I was a kid, my dad was absolutely OCD about our lawn. He was crazy. We actually had, in our neighborhood, we had a garden club, and they gave an award every year for the best yard, the best lawn, the best garden. And my father wanted to win the blue ribbon, and he was fanatical about our grass. I can still remember him coming home and pulling into our driveway and jumping out of the car and still in his shirt and tie. I can remember him getting down on his knees and digging dandelions out of the middle of our lawn. Our neighbor was not nearly as careful about his lawn, and it was full of crabgrass and onion grass, and it was full of dandelions. And when they would go away on vacation, my father would sneak over with his spreader, and he would treat the neighbor's lawn to take care of the weeds, sort of like the parable of the wheat and the weeds in reverse. But Jesus is using this picture to tell us what the enemy wants to do and why. What he wants to do is to destroy us. And the reason that he wants to destroy us is because he hates God. And you and I belong to God. You and I are his beloved possession. You and I are his blue ribbon winning field. And so Satan's tactic is to hurt God by destroying what belongs to God and what is loved by God. You know, sometimes when you and I suffer attacks from the enemy, when we have setbacks, and we're quick to wonder whether God really loves us. But beloved, what Jesus is telling us right here is that it is precisely because God loves us, it is precisely because we are his prized possession, it's precisely because we are highly valued by him that the enemy comes after us. And the way he does it is by sending people into our lives. I want you to notice with me in this parable that the bad seed is people. People that he sends to sow discouragement into our heart. We were talking about this in the office a little bit earlier this week, how there are moments in our life, moments along the way in our childhood, there are moments in our teenage years when someone comes along and speaks one word over us that changes the course of our whole life. One word that discourages, one word that puts us down, one word that makes us feel insecure, that makes us feel worthless and meaningless. The way the enemy gets at us is he sends people to distract us. He sends people to introduce us to things that carry us away from God's destiny in our lives. He sends people to derail us, to disinherit us. What he wants to do is he wants to hurt us because we belong to God. But there's something more I find about our enemy in this story, and that is what he cannot do. And what he cannot do is dislodge us. You know, one of the things I love most about the parable of the wheat and the weeds is it tells me what my enemy cannot do. It's interesting that in spite of his intense hatred for God and what belongs to God, he's limited to really do very much about us at all. I'm struck in this story by what the enemy cannot do. In Bible days, farmers would plant their seeds on top of the soil. And then they would come along with the plow and they would plow the seed into the ground. And once the seed was sown, it could not be unsown. Once the seed was sown, it couldn't be undone. A while back ago, we were up in Toronto visiting my in-laws. And my mother-in-law had a brand new flagstone patio that she had put down in her backyard. And my son Ben was out in the backyard playing with a toy dump truck. And my mother-in-law had given him some packets of seeds to put in the back of the dump truck for a payload. And so he played with that for, you know, 3 or 4 minutes, and then that kind of got boring. So he decided to tear open the packets of seeds and see what was inside. And the seeds went all over in between the cracks in the flagstone patio. And we went home after a day or two, and a week or two later, my mother-in-law called us and she said, "There are bean sprouts everywhere coming up all over my flagstone patio." And because she misses the grandchildren so much, she just let them go ahead and grow. You see, once the seed has been sown, it cannot be unsown. Beloved, listen, once the seed was sown, nothing could prevent it from sprouting. Once the seed was sown, nothing could prevent it from growing and bearing fruit and reproducing. Once the seed was sown, the enemy couldn't do anything about it. And listen to me, for all of the enemy's putrid venom, for all of his hatred, there is a lot he cannot do to you and to me. Once the good seed of God's word has been sown into the soil of your heart, he cannot unsow it. He cannot stop faith from sprouting in your heart. He cannot stop you from growing up in Jesus Christ. He cannot stop you from maturing. He cannot stop you from bearing fruit. He cannot stop you. Listen to me, beloved, and receive God's word. Life is programmed into you. Growth is programmed into you. Prosperity is programmed into you. Productivity is programmed into you. The enemy, he cannot stop you. Jesus said, "The ones that belong to me, no one can snatch them out of my hand." What he wants to do is destroy you. What he cannot do is dislodge you. But Jesus tells us what he can do, and what he can do is to deter us. The enemy couldn't undo the good seed, so he did the only thing he could do, and while everyone was asleep, he oversowed the field with bad seed for the purpose of deterring growth and fruitfulness. The weed Jesus specifies here is a weed called the bearded darnel. Interestingly, the bearded darnel is in the same family of plants as wheat. And when it first sprouts and grows, it looks exactly like wheat. It cannot be distinguished until the fruit comes out. And the fruit of the bearded darnel is poisonous. Beloved, that's how the enemy operates in our lives. Do you know that if he came at us in a full frontal assault, do you know that we would recognize it immediately? We would stand up. We would withstand it. But his tactics are stealth. His tactics are deception. And he sends people our way. He puts us in situations that introduces things into our lives that seem harmless at first. But in the end, the fruit of it is really toxic. Jesus said, when the wheat sprouted and formed heads, when the fruit came out, then the weeds appeared. What he means is that the weeds were there all along. They were growing up side by side with the wheat all along, but they were indistinguishable until they began bearing fruit. Beloved, Jesus says, by men's fruit, you shall know them. Good plants produce good fruit, and bad plants produce bad fruit. Good people produce good things, and bad people produce bad things. Good people do good things, and bad people do bad things. Beloved, listen to me and hear the word of the Lord. Beware of people who always have conflict swirling around them. Have you ever known people? There's always a tempest in a teacup whenever they're around. that there's always contention. There's always strife. There's always a dust up. There's always, you know, something going on around certain people. Listen to me. Mark people like that. Beware of them. Stay clear of them. There's something wrong with their spirit. The enemy said, I cannot undo the wheat, but what I can do is I can try to deter its growth. I can try to limit its fruitfulness. I can try to cause it to come up short of the master's expectations. So he sowed bad seed. People. The bad seed crowded out the good seed. It took up the territory that belonged to the good seed. The bad seed sucked up the provision that belonged to the good seed, the nutrients in the soil, the refreshing rain from heaven. The bad seed sucked it all up. Beloved, listen to me. God has sown, the enemy has sown into your life people who have come to occupy the territory that God intended for you to occupy. The enemy has sown into your life people who have come to suck away the provision, the refreshing that God meant for you, for your growth. People have come into your life to come and suck that away. The roots of the bad seed tangled around the roots of the good seed so that they're inseparably tangled up. And that's what the enemy wants to do to you and to me. He wants to sow people into our lives that tangle us up in the core issues of our life. He wants to tangle us up in unhealthy relationships. He wants to tangle us up in addictions. He wants to tangle us up in the core. And maybe the worst thing that I find here is that the bad seed caused confusion among the master's servants. When the fruit finally came out, the wheat and the weeds could be distinguished from one another. And the servants go and they say, Master, we're confused. Didn't you sow good seed in your field? You see, beloved, the enemy can never dislodge us, but he can try to steal what belongs to us, and he can try to tangle us up, and he can especially try to confuse us. See, when the enemy's opposition appears in our lives, we become confused. Lord, why are you allowing this to happen? Lord, don't you see what's going on? Lord, don't you see what's happening to me? Why don't you do anything about it? Maybe you've been disillusioned by a person that you've known along the way, and you thought that person was wheat, but in the end you found out that that person bore poisonous fruit, and it caused confusion in your life. You say, Lord, why did you allow this person, why did you allow this thing to be in my life? It causes confusion. But the story of the wheat and the weeds doesn't end there, because this parable not only gives us a description of our enemy, it gives us, secondly, a description of our Savior. Beloved, Jesus is the main character of this parable. Satan is the great antagonist, but Jesus is the great protagonist. He begins with these words, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man that went out and sowed good seed in his field." And then Jesus explains, the one who sows the good seed is me. Jesus is the main character of this parable. And as I look closely, I find seven things that I want to give you real fast. Seven things about Jesus and the parable of the wheat and the weeds. We're going to go quick. The first one is this. He is the owner of the whole earth. He is the owner of the whole earth. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. And then he said, I am the man, and my field is the world. The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it. He is the creator and he is the owner of all of it. By him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. For by him, all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him, all things hold together. See, as I look at this parable, one of the things that strikes me is that this whole world is under his dominion. He is Lord over everything in it. He is Lord over the good, the bad, and the ugly, the bold, and the beautiful. The righteous are under his dominion. Listen, the wicked are under his dominion. The situations in your life that challenge you and that you don't understand, they are under his dominion. He is the owner of the whole world. Second thing about Jesus, he is the author of all that is good and only what is good, and he is continuously doing good on the earth. He is the author of all that is good and only what is good, and he is continuously doing good on the earth. That's probably bad grammar, but it's good preaching. The one who sows, it's in a Greek continuous tense. The one who continually sows good seed is the Son of Man. Beloved, there's one simple truth that we have to grasp here. Good God, bad devil. All right, you got to say it with me. Good God, bad devil. Come on. Good God, bad devil. Beloved, God is good all the time. Every good and every perfect gift comes above, from the Father of lights, from the Lord of glory. He is the author of everything good, and he is continuously pouring forth good gifts. If that is true, why is it that when good things happen, we forget to thank God? And when bad things happen, we instantly blame God. You know, these power outages, they're ultimately good for us. I honestly think, Denise and I here at the church and at our house this year, we've had two power outages. One happened in June. We were out for 4 or 5 days. We had to throw everything out of our fridge and our freezers. We were out again with Irene for 4 or 5 days. I honestly think that God let the power stay on at this church just for me, because he knows if it went out one more time, I think I would have gone over the edge. But you know, it's good for us, isn't it? Maybe a little inconvenience in our life helps us from time to time remember how much we ought to be thankful for every day. I don't know about you, but we ought to get up in the morning and we ought to say, God, thank you for all your good blessings in my life this morning. God, thank you that I have a roof over my head. Thank you that I have clothes to wear. Thank you that I have food to eat. Beloved, we ought to thank him because he's good all the time and he is the sower of good seed in my life. Third truth about Jesus, he is the master of hosts of angels and he dispatches them to care for, preserve, defend, and vindicate us. This parable tells me that the master has someone watching over his wheat. The master has someone watching over you and me. Listen, you and I are not alone in this world. God is with us, and he is Lord Sabaoth. He is the commander of the angelic armies of heaven, and he dispatches them to watch over us. Angels are watching over you to provide for you. Angels are watching over you to protect you. Angels are watching over you to preserve you. They're watching over you so you don't dash your foot upon a stone. They're watching over you so that no harm befalls you. And listen, what this story tells me is that angels are chomping at the bit, just waiting for God to give them the green light to come and deliver us from the enemy's opposition in our lives. Isn't that cool? The servants in this story, they're the angels. And when they see the bad seed that has been sown among God's children, they go to the master and they say, come on, just give us the green light. Come on, just give us the go ahead. Just tell us we can go and kick some devil butt. Listen to me. The enemy's sown sickness into your life. The enemy sown strife into your family. The enemy has sown chaos into your finances. And I'm telling you that there are angels that are just chomping at the bit, waiting for God to give them the green light to come and weed out of your life what the enemy has sown there. But there's a little more to the story. Truth number four about Jesus. He has the power to destroy evil anytime that he wants. Beloved, the things that are impossible for you and me are nothing to God. The things that are the impasses, the challenges that are absolutely insurmountable, they are nothing to God. In a moment, in an instant, he can change them. There was a siege in the city of Samaria. If you remember, the enemy had it surrounded for months and months and months. There was no food left in the city. The price of food that was inedible was through the roof, and parents had taken to eating their own children to stay alive. And the word of the Lord came through the prophet. You see, you be careful, teenagers, so you better be good or you'll get eaten. The word of the Lord came through the prophet, and he said, this time tomorrow, I tell you that the streets of this city will be flowing with flour. This time tomorrow, oil will be flowing through the streets of the city. Food will be so plentiful, it will be so abundant that it'll sell for pennies, it'll sell for nothing. Listen, beloved, the situations that go on and on in our lives and seem absolutely impossible to us, God can change in an instant, in a moment. But truth number five, he values the cultivation of fruit and maturity in his sons and daughters more than the punishment of the unrighteous. He values the cultivation of fruit and maturity in his sons and daughters more than the punishment of the unrighteous. Beloved, listen, what this parable tells us is that what God has his eye on in this world is what is good, not what is evil. The servants ask, Master, do you want us to pull the weeds up? And the master says, no, leave the weeds where they are, because if you pull the weeds up now, you might pull the wheat up with it, and I want my wheat to reach full maturity. Listen. God values the preservation, the prosperity. God values the proliferation of his righteous ones more than the punishment of evildoers. Do you remember Abraham contending for the city of Sodom? He got down on his face in intercession before the Lord, and he said, God, would you spare that wicked, evil city of Sodom? Would you spare it for 50 righteous people? And God says to Abraham, yes, for 50 righteous, I'll spare the whole city. And then Abraham says, God, forgive me for coming, but Lord, for 40 righteous people, would you spare that whole city for just 40 righteous? And God says, yes. And Abraham says, Lord, would you give me 30? Would you spare for 30 people? Would you spare the whole city for 20, God? Do I hear 20? Would you spare for 20? He was a good negotiator, that Abraham. And God says, yes, for 20. And then Abraham says, God, for 10 righteous. For 10 righteous people, would you spare that whole wicked city? And God says to Abraham, yes, for just 10 righteous one, I would spare it. Listen, God says, I care more about the preservation. I care more about the prosperity. I care more about the growth of just 10 righteous people than a whole city of evildoers. Beloved, if you want to know what the hope of America is, the hope of America is not the Democratic Party. The hope of America is not the Republican Party. The hope of America is not the Tea Party. The hope of America is not Occupy Wall Street. If you want to know what the hope of America is, it's the Church of Jesus Christ. For the sake of my righteous ones, for the sake of my sons and daughters who are doing my work, for the sake of the children of the kingdom who are spreading the gospel to every nation of the world, I will yet spare the city. God's not watching what all the unrighteous people are doing. He's watching you and me. Can I tell you something shocking? It doesn't surprise God when sinners sin. That's what they're supposed to do. They can't do anything else but sin. That doesn't take God by surprise. He's not watching what they're doing. He's more concerned about our progress. He's more concerned about perfecting character in us. He's more concerned about growing us. He's more concerned about prospering us. He's more concerned about seeing that we bear fruit. Listen. This is the heart of the word right here, and this is what God wants you to receive. Sometimes we wonder, God, why have you allowed this prolonged opposition in my life? Why have you allowed these attacks and these setbacks to go on and on? God, why have you allowed these attacks in my family? God, why have you allowed these setbacks in my finances? God, why have you allowed sickness in my physical body? Beloved, listen. God has allowed the enemy's opposition to remain for a little while, because if it was removed prematurely, it would stunt your growth. And it would cause you to fall short of the full measure of fruitfulness that God has destined for you. Listen, the enemy sowed opposition into your life to stunt your growth. And you've cried out, God, why didn't you do something about it? But here's God's answer. The enemy's opposition can never stunt your growth. The only thing that could stunt your growth would be the premature removal of the very thing that the enemy thought was going to destroy you. And that's good preaching right there. What the enemy meant for evil, Joseph, God is using for your good and for his glory. Brothers and sisters, count it all joy when various trials come your way, knowing this, that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. But let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. How many of you want to not lack anything? I want to not lack anything. So let it work. Truth number 6, he has the wisdom to know when and how to weed the enemy's opposition out of our lives. Listen to me, because this is a good word from the Lord for somebody. He has the wisdom to know when and how to weed the enemy's opposition out of our lives. The master is not thrown by the enemy's tricks. He knows what to do and when. The servants come. The enemy in the night came. He sowed bad seed on top of the good seed. And they sprouted and they grew up together. And nobody knew anything was wrong until they began bearing fruit. And then the servants saw that there was a problem. And they went to the master. They were alarmed. They were confused. But listen, the master was in complete control. He knew who did it. He knew who the perpetrator was, and he knew exactly how and when to fix it. Everybody look at me and receive God's word. You have an enemy. He's very real, and he's absolutely trying to stop you. And so he has sown into your lives situations and people to try to deter you and stunt your growth. But look at me. The master knows how and when to fix it. And beloved, listen to me. There's a weeding day that is coming. God is getting ready to come and to send his angels through his field to weed out of your life the opposition that the enemy has sown in your life. Our friend Dr. Cindy Trim was with us a while ago. She taught us that there are five seasons in the Bible. Spring, summer, fall. Winter, and then there's dew season. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you do not faint. Beloved, I want to tell you, this is harvest time, and God is coming. He's sending his angels to come and to weed out of your life. Receive the word of the Lord. The opposition that the enemy has put there, it has run its course. It has produced the growth and the maturity in you. It's made you strong. It's made you tough. And now the Lord is getting ready to send his messengers to come and to weed out of your lives those things so that you can get ready for this final harvest and bear fruit for him. Seventh truth, final truth about Jesus in this parable. He is the judge of the unjust, and he is the rewarder of the righteous. Can I tell you something, beloved? The older I get and the more of life that I live, the more I draw comfort every day from the thought that Jesus is going to come and he's going to put it all right at the end. Listen, Jesus is going to sort it all out. Don't fret. Don't worry. Listen, what you and I need to concentrate on, we need to concentrate on growing in Jesus. We need to concentrate on maturing. We need to concentrate on bearing fruit. We need to concentrate on reproducing the life of Christ, not only in our own lives, but in the lives of others. We need to reproduce salvation in people that don't know Jesus. Street fires going out this Saturday morning. We have a big group of teenagers, I think about 35 or more, that are going out to the streets of Stamford. You can go with them. You can join them on Saturday morning. Go out with them. Concentrate on those things. Listen, shut off Fox News. Shut off MSNBC. Shut off CNN. God's not watching at what the wicked are doing. He's not watching at what the evildoer are doing. He's watching you. One day he's going to come and he's going to sort it all out in the end. Nobody's going to get away with nothing. Someday there will be justice. In the meantime, it's just us. A description of our enemy, a description of our Savior, and finally, a description of our experience in the world. Pastor Nick, come and help me. A description. So what is our experience? The kingdom of heaven is like. This is a description of what our experience in the world is going to be like as followers of Jesus, what's the description of our experience in the world? Number one, listen to me. We will face opposition in the world. You will face opposition. Have you got it? You will face opposition. It will come. Peter wrote and he said, don't be surprised when fiery trials come your way. I looked that up in the Greek. You know what it means? Fiery trials. You will have opposition. The second truth about our experience in the world, God has a purpose for allowing the opposition to remain for a little while, and that is my maturity. God is allowing some things to go for a little while. Listen to me. You're not going to be overcome. You're not going to be undone. You're not going to fail. God's just allowed the opposition for a little while for the purpose of your maturity. Truth number three, our experience in the world, in spite of the opposition, we will succeed. Everybody look at me. You will succeed. You will grow. You will bear fruit. You will be healthy. You will prosper. You will reach the full measure of the stature of Christ. You will accomplish the purpose for which God has sent you into the world. You will live and not die. You will declare the works of the Lord in spite of what hell has thrown at you, in spite of what you're fighting, in spite of the sickness in your body right now. You will live and you will not die. In spite of the chaos in your finances, you will prosper and you will be blessed. In spite of the strife going on in your family, you will have peace and joy. You will succeed. And the final truth, we win in the end. See, I read to the end of the book. I read all the way. I skipped ahead. I couldn't help myself. And I read all the way to the end in Revelation. And you know what? We win in the end. The day is coming when God is sending His angels into the world. And they will weed out of His kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will be thrown into the fiery furnace. And then the righteous will shine like the sun in the glorious kingdom of their God and Father. We win in the end. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. Blessed is your heart, for you understand. You then hear the parable of the wheat and the weeds. Stand up on your feet and give glory to God in this place. Come on, let's give the Lord a big offering of praise, a big offering of thanksgiving. Oh, you can do better than that. Let's give Him a big offering of thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, lift up your voice. Let's sing to the name above every name, Jesus, Lamb of God.